giant of limitless power at man's command. And where was it science found that giant? In the atom, a particle so infinitely small that it takes over 100 billion atoms to make up the head of a pin.
This is Out of the Basement, a podcast dedicated to radiation medicine.
This is Dr. Jason Becta shivering in the Vermont mountain basements here with another riveting episode in this year of black swan events. And this has been a crazy January, depending on what you pay attention to and who you pay attention to. But I figured we'd go back old school. We talk about policy and payment and professional societies. And I have dragged my feet on doing this because I'm a little, I don't know if a little is the correct way to say it. I am disappointed, and I had expected more, really anything. I have been repeatedly asking our largest professional society, known as ASTRO, for any sort of information on anything they've said this year. And yeah, it really sums it up, like literally anything, and just crickets. It's gotten to the point where I am going all over to the strange and quirky social media platforms and just really anything to see if I'm missing something, if there's just, maybe they invented some sort of secret platform that I didn't get told about, but nope. And I really enjoy the ACRO town hall, the actual town hall that was done a couple months back, and really would have loved to have heard any sort of reaction from ASTRO, but alas. So then on January 9th, we finally got something, and boy howdy, that was interesting. So let's go ahead and take a listen to the press release we're going to go with, to the announcement from January 9th that can be found on ASTRO and ACRO's website, basically nowhere else, but we'll get there.
Today, the largest professional societies representing radiation oncology physicians in the United States announced a partnership with the goal of reforming radiation oncology Medicare payments to expand and enhance access to high-quality care for people with cancer. Leaders of the American College of Radiation Oncology, ACRO, the American College of Radiology, ACR, the American Society for Radiation Oncology, ASTRO, and the American Society of Clinical Oncology, ASCO, stressed the need for a unified approach to create meaningful change on this critical issue.
I want to be really clear and state that I don't intend to be negative all the time. That's really not what any of this is supposed to be about. So I'm going to start by saying I am very happy to hear this. The professional societies representing various cancer specialties, modalities, whatnot, should 100% be doing this. And I'm very glad to hear that this is the case. Now, what I'm a little bit less glad about is I had always assumed that this was a thing, right? What is the point of specialty societies if they are not working towards the common benefit of the patients and physicians? So were they not united in a partnership to protect Medicare payments to radiation oncology, or really any sort of, again, cancer care as the major cancer societies? I'm confused. So I guess we weren't united on protecting access, but we are now. Let's continue.
Medicare payments for radiation therapy services have been cut by 23% since 2013, threatening patient access to cancer care in communities across the country, with further cuts likely in coming years. ACRO, ACR, ASTRO, and ASCO are committed to working together to ensure that cost-effective, high-value cancer care services are available for Medicare beneficiaries and all patients, while positioning the specialty for innovative breakthroughs in cancer treatment for future generations. The organization's leaders believe that payment reform is an essential path forward for the future of the specialty. Broad congressional interest in radiation oncology and Medicare physician payment reform provide a robust backdrop for potentially transformative action this year.
What a great passage. It's very interesting. So first, the alarming statistic that Medicare payments for radiation therapy services have been cut 23% since 2013, that should not be a green light to secretly author your own payment model to have more cuts. And yes, again, I'm very aware that it won't get off the ground in Congress if you don't show cuts. Like, that's not the point. Point is, why do it? But then again, I love this line here, with further cuts likely in coming years. Yes, that's the true for all of medicine. Like, that's just a whole bunch of nothing. Okay. And a lot of math, this will be in a different episode. A lot of this projection math is based on extrapolating these cuts. And I would just like to point out that after the intense scrutiny a decade ago, so we had these cuts in 2013 as a very specific year because they started coming after us then. So we had the issues in 2013, 2015 with the bundling and whatnot. And then we had the tumultuous years with the threat of APM. But if you think about it, if you step back, after that targeting in 2013, 2015, we've been left alone. There was the specter of APM, and then that's now dead. So why are we asking for trouble? Astro feels like the kids in class who raise their hand and go, "Teacher, teacher, you forgot to give us homework. Stop. Just stop." But anyway, so they set this up again. I'm going with this episode in a certain direction. So very interesting how they set up these quotes here. So now we're going to get these four quotes from representatives of the societies.
ACRO President Dwight Herron said, "As four of the largest groups representing innovative and comprehensive cancer care, our coalition will leverage its wealth of expertise across the spectrum of health policy and economics to ensure the practice of radiation oncology remains sustainable in both community and hospital-based settings to the benefit of cancer patients for many years to come." ACR Board of Chancellors Chair Jacqueline A. Bellow said, "The American College of Radiology is continually working to advance and maintain a healthcare delivery and payment structure that enables those with cancer to access life-saving and quality of life, improving radiation oncology care in their communities. On behalf of our many radiation oncologist members and the patients we serve, the ACR is proud to work with ASTRO, ACRO, and ASCO to move this important effort forward." ASTRO Chair Jeff M. Mikalski added, "ASTRO welcomes this partnership with ACRO, ACR, and ASCO, knowing that as a united discipline, we can achieve lasting reform for radiation oncologists and our patients." ASCO Board Chair Everett Vogt said, "The Association for Clinical Oncology supports collaboration across the cancer community and with policymakers toward needed payment reform that supports patient access to high-quality, equitable cancer care."
Wow. I have never read more boilerplate language in my life. What did any of that say? Really, what did any of that say? There was nothing specific in that. That was just, you could have basically pulled that off a existing website for any of these societies. So I've learned that we evidently did not have a partnership before this to protect reimbursement, and that the representatives are really committed to not having more cuts, and very, very action-driven statements there. I wonder what comes next.
ASTRO's Radiation Oncology Case Rate Program, ROCR, seeks to address inadequacies of the current payment system. The societies are seeking input from their members and other stakeholders on payment reform as they ask policymakers to address the urgent threat facing cancer treatment access. They are committed to supporting radiation oncology professionals, both in hospital and freestanding office settings, to secure fair, stable reimbursement. Payment reform in radiation oncology also must address disparities faced by patients in rural and underserved communities. The group's leaders expressed confidence that their partnership will ensure continued access close to home to compassionate, technologically advanced, life-saving treatments for patients diagnosed with cancer. They also expressed a commitment to this important advocacy initiative to protect and enhance access to radiation therapy services for patients today and tomorrow.
I literally laughed out loud when I read that the first time. So this is about as textbook propaganda as you get. And I'm using that in the traditional way. I hate when people, that term has been politicized to the point where it means nothing. or just watered down, but I'm using it in the classic way. And what I mean by that is, so when you read this setup, so first you have the opening of this press release where they make these statements about a partnership with the, and these really are the four, these are four very large, very important professional societies. And you immediately read of, oh, wow, there's a partnership, there's a coalition, this is something. And then you have statements of intent, or again, if you don't give any of them critical thought, it again adds to the narrative of, okay, we've got this society partnership, and look, here are the important people from the societies, and they're saying things. And then you have a single sentence that leads right into Astro's radiation oncology case rate program rocker seeks to address inadequacies of the current payment system. Now, note, zero statements by any of the individuals are mentioning rocker at all, not even Astro's. And there was no mention of rocker before the statement. And after this one sentence, there is no mention of rocker again. And now when they did the announcement on Twitter, and really it was basically only three people, as I recall, three of the Astro leadership people, when they tweeted this, they put a rocker hashtag at the end of the tweet, but they did not say anything actually specifically about rocker. And what that does is it gives you the illusion that this is about rocker. It is not. And I'm not even sure if this was discussed behind the scenes, like when this coalition was put together, it was either not even brought up, or pretty concretely, the other societies did not agree to supporting rocker. And I can, that's basically what this is. And so this is pretty ham-fisted, in my opinion. And because then right after the one sentence about rocker, it says the societies are seeking input from their members and other stakeholders on payment reform as they ask policymakers to address the urgent threat facing cancer treatment access. Okay, so again, that statement can be applied to anything. And that's why I laughed out loud when I saw this. And when I say the term propaganda, I mean it in the 1928 book Propaganda, written by Edward Bernays. And Edward Bernays, now back then, propaganda, the meaning has changed over the years. It actually was not a negative term. I think a negative term now, of course. But in 1928, when he wrote the book, literally propaganda, that was synonymous for public relations. That meant PR. So it wasn't negative back then. But let's have a listen to a passage from an article here.
Funnily enough, bacon and eggs for breakfast can all be traced back to the founding father of psychoanalysis, Sigmund Freud. He just really has a way of inserting himself in American culture. His nephew, Edward Bernays, inspired by his uncle's work, was a founder of propaganda and public relations and is credited with the introduction of bacon and eggs into the American breakfast. In the 1920s, Americans typically ate light breakfasts of coffee, orange juice, rolls. In order to increase bacon sales, Bernays wrote to 5,000 physicians asking whether a heavy breakfast was better for health than a light breakfast. 4,500 physicians wrote back confirming that a heavy breakfast was better for health as the body is depleted of nutrients after a night of sleep. He had this study published in newspapers across America, conveniently presenting bacon and eggs as the ideal choice.
Do you see what I mean as the classic definition of propaganda? So this is what Edward Bernays was really famous for, where this is his use of his favorite technique of appeal to a third party. And again, just to reiterate that story, he wrote to 5,000 physicians asking whether a heavy breakfast was better, and 4,500 wrote back saying yes, and they were replying yeses, and the body is depleted of nutrients after fasting all night. And so he took that true fact of 4,500 out of 5,000 physicians say heavy breakfast is better, and he put that in a bacon ad, and that's how he pushed bacon. And it works, as it tricks your brain. Interestingly, he also really was pushing cigarettes. He's one of the founders of the big early tobacco push by getting women to smoke. He would call them torches of freedom. So he links cigarettes to feminism. And so cigarettes were painted as torches of freedom, literally, Google it. And it was it was kind of linked to symbols of independence. And it was devastatingly effective as we are still dealing with today. So if you ever wonder who literally wrote the book on propaganda, it was Freud's nephew, Edward Bernays. And so that's what Astra has done here, or whoever wrote this press release, where nothing in this is specifically about Rocker. So none of the specialty societies say anything. There's nothing really specific. It is mentioned, the hashtags are used, and it is co-opting the authority of the other societies. It is giving the appearance of support when it is actually not support. And it's really, I would have done it differently if it were me. I would do a lot of things differently. But so then I was trying to figure out, where did this come from? Now, for those who don't know, when you do a quote unquote press release, like when you put things quote unquote out on the wires, there are specific services that you can use that for. And so sometimes when you see these things, like maybe you've seen something and been like, how in the world did this get press coverage? It's, you can literally pay to do this. And so I was trying to figure out if that's what they did here, because when the workforce study came out back in March of 2023, and it was spun as the projections are equitable or whatever the language was, and that's really not what it showed, that was put out on a normal press wire. Now, I'm recording this about a week after this press release was out, so maybe that's coming. Maybe it just hasn't been disseminated through the search engine crawlers. But I could not really find any other places. So that's the other really telling thing about this. This is not on ASCO's website. This is not on the ACR's website. This is in two places. This is on Astro's website, and this is on Acro's website, and that's it. If you Google the first line of this, you get a paywalled cancer letter, copy and paste it looks, but then you get an Aunt Minnie story, which is written. Now, for those who Aunt Minnie is more for the diagnostic radiology people, but it's like I don't even know how to describe Aunt Minnie. There's no really rat onk. The SDN forums are, I guess, as close as it gets, but that's not true. I don't know. It's a private sort of diagnostic radiology forum. So this was the thing from Aunt Minnie about it.
In other news, Astro said that Chief Executive Officer Laura Thevenot plans to retire at the end of 2024 after leading the organization since 2002. During Thevenot's tenure, membership grew by over 50% to its current level of more than 10,500 physicians, biologists, physicists, radiation therapists, dosimetrists, and other healthcare professionals. The Society noted, "It has been my privilege to work on behalf of our Astro members these past 22 years," Thevenot said in a statement. The Astro Board of Directors has engaged Korn Ferry to conduct the nationwide executive search for Thevenot's replacement, Astro said.
So point number one is, again, this press release is only available on Astro's website and Acro's website. It looks like paywalled copy and paste cancel letter. And then the story about it from Aunt Minnie, and that's it, which again is, it's really hard to, I don't know if people found this compelling or what, because the word Rocker shows up once, there's no specific statements. This wasn't even posted on ASCO and ACR's website. They didn't even tweet about it. They didn't respond to any tweets, because there's a few people from Astro and Acro tweeted about it and tag some folks, but there was zero buy-in from ACR and ASCO, and it was oof, oof. And so then when I found this article on Aunt Minnie and with the CEO's retirement, I clicked because I had read the announcement, but not really about her retirement. And this is one of the passages from her resignation article.
During Thevenot's tenure at Astro, membership grew by over 50% to its current level of more than 10,500 physicians, biologists, physicists, radiation therapists, dosimetrists, and other healthcare professionals. Additionally, the association's professional staff expanded from 18 in 2002 to more than 80 currently.
I find the back-to-back nature of these articles very profound and very illustrative of my own feelings about Astro and why I am very suspicious of their ability to pull off really anything of complexity. Because if you take this together, so we have during the CEO's tenure from 2002 to now, the membership grew over 50%. And again, part of the things I've been concerned about for many years is the doubling of radiation oncologists from a very rapid pace and without a clear indication for the need for doubling. But so this is everything. So it's, you have a 50% membership growth of everybody, and you have an increase in the astro professional staff from 18 to more than 80. That is huge. Now, this opened with 23% cuts in reimbursement since 2013. In aggregate, you have doubling of the people around or within radiation oncology. You have quadrupling of the staff of this professional organization. These are the people, this organization was the one that was supposed to be in charge of protecting the specialty, of safeguarding it. And under this massive growth of the structure itself, of the organization itself, massive growth, the only thing that they have to show for it is a 23% decrease in reimbursement from Medicare over the last 10 years. And that was 10 years into this tenure when this growth had already happened. And so the question is, what confidence do any of us have in the ability of this organization to do something like Rocker? Because the nail that sticks out gets hammered down. This is the thing. You could rewrite Rocker. And again, I'm still, if there's actual stakeholder feedback and incorporation, if that actually, if ASCO really gets involved and really does that, I would never, ever personally shut the door on Rocker for my own. I will change my mind. I would love to change my mind. But do we really think that we can withstand being the sole specialty who is paid by Medicare uniquely in all of American medicine compared to everyone else? Because that's what that is. It would be taking radiation oncology out of the pool of specialties. We'd be the only ones. There is nothing like this. And even if there was, it would be different than us. So no matter, there's, you could draw some analogies to portions of things that exist, but there right now is nothing like Rocker. You are looking for congressional action to put us in a separate bucket, to take us out. That is an incredibly difficult place to be in. We'd stand out like a sore thumb. Do we have the skill and expertise and the maturity to handle that position? Because all signs point to no. And all other things aside, even if Rocker was perfect, a tiny medical specialty should not be seeking to be a separate piece unless you want to pull in the lobbying power that the Proton crew has. Because the way that the Proton, this is very interesting too, or maybe not interesting, disturbing to me, protons are viewed separately than photons. And because protons cost so much more. And so the way that the others, the policymakers, the people who aren't us, they don't view all of us as radiation oncologists. They view it as protons and everything else. And that says a lot about how we appear to the outside world. And we have shown no demonstrable ability to handle uniqueness. And it's in black and white. Now, when I was looking for any support by this coalition, of course, there's nothing on ASCO's Twitter, but from this January 9th press release, there is something from January 10th. And what we do have is ASCO, what ASCO is pushing for, which is something that I strongly believe in. And I would love if in the reverse, if Astro, I will shut up about Rocker. If Astro just wants to, we can have a mutually assured, just we'll stop talking about it. All of us together, we can pretend like it didn't happen. If we just want to go with ASCO on what ASCO wants to do, I really like what ASCO wants to do, and it is in line with the AMA stuff. While ASCO didn't say anything about this press release on the 9th or ever, but on the 10th, here's what they are advocating for.
A 3.37% Medicare physician payment cut took effect on January 1st, 2024. Congress must take action immediately to address the cuts and reform the flawed Medicare physician payment system. Physicians are the only providers who do not automatically receive an annual inflationary update from Medicare. Year after year, reimbursement for physicians falls drastically below inflationary rates, resulting in cuts to reimbursement for services. The lack of annual adjustments in the Medicare Physician Fee Schedule, MPFS, due to budget neutrality requirements, limit the allocation of funds for essential cancer care services. The increased merit-based incentive payment system, MIPS, performance threshold would lead to half of MIPS eligible clinicians receiving a negative payment adjustment for the 2024 performance period and would further disadvantage smaller practices. The lack of incentives and financial stability hinder the broader transition to value-based care models. The Medicare reimbursement system makes it difficult for physicians to maintain a viable business, impacting patients' access to care. Physician reimbursement has fallen behind inflationary rates by 26% since 2001. Along with increased performance thresholds, the limitations on resources allocated for necessary care, and the lack of incentives to transition to value-based care models only amplify the unsustainable Medicare physician payment system. Join ASCO in asking Congress to address the 3.37% Medicare physician payment cut that took effect January 1st and take the following steps to improve the flawed Medicare physician payment system and improve financial stability for practices. Specifically, we ask Congress to provide automatic inflationary updates to reimbursement, eliminate budget neutrality requirements, make meaningful changes to the merit-based incentive payment system, MIPS, incentivize the transition to value-based care.
I really hope that this coalition does indeed agree to join ASCO in asking Congress to address the 3.37% Medicare physician payment cut that took effect on January 1st and to take steps to improve the flawed Medicare physician payment system and improve financial stability for practices. And specifically, ASCO is asking Congress, and I am asking this coalition and the physicians and anyone really associated with this to also join ASCO in asking Congress for providing automatic inflationary updates to reimbursement, to eliminate budget neutrality requirements, to make meaningful changes to the merit-based incentive payment system, and to incentivize the transition to value-based care. And I think that that would be a very positive step we could all take. And I think that many other things, especially tiny specialties, trying to circumvent CMS to create unique payment systems and stand out like a sore thumb, I think that is very obviously tilting at windmills.
This has been a Photon Media production. Don't forget to like and subscribe on whatever platform you use to listen to us. Be well and beam on.